I want you to turn to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. When you find it, say amen. If you don't know where it's at, say oh me. Hallelujah. Once you found it, either on your phone or your Bible, praise God. Why don't you lift up your word, your instrument of scripture, praise God, and say this after me. Lord Jesus, I confess you are my Lord. You are the living word. You've given unto me your written word that I might know you. This day I set myself to have ears to hear what the word says. I hear the word. I receive the word. I set myself to be a doer of the word. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word and bringing to pass all that it says in my life, for I receive it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to read Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. I want to read these verses in the Amplified. I like the way it comes out. You can follow it in yours. It's not that much different. But in the Amplified, verse 13 says, Christ purchased our freedom. I just love that, praise God. I enjoy reading, Christ purchased my freedom. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Aren't you glad that your freedom has already been bought and paid for? Freedom from what? Well, he's going to go ahead and tell us. Redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I have been set free, and I have been bought and paid for, and my exemption from the curse of the law is a done deal. Amen. What's that mean? Jesus has paid the price for me to no longer be under the curse of the law. He has paid the price for me to operate in redemption and to live in the freedom of God, not the bondage of the devil. Amen? Now let's read on. How did he do it? By himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree and is crucified. So I like to amplify it. A lot of times we say, hang on a tree. What's that mean? Well, it means to be crucified. Where did Jesus Christ and when did Jesus Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? When he went on the cross. He was God's lamb that was taking away the sin of the world. He was being sacrificed for you and me. Amen? And so therefore, Jesus purchased my freedom from the curse of the law when he went on the cross. What was the curse of the law? It was a threefold curse. When you go back to the Bible and the law, actually, most of the time when you read about the law, it's the Pentateuch. It's Genesis through Deuteronomy, specifically Leviticus and Deuteronomy talks about the various laws of the Old Testament. And under these things, when Adam sinned and fell, sin came into the world, and through that sin came a curse. And the first sin that came upon mankind was he was separated from God. God told him in Genesis 2, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Surely die means dying spiritually. Eventually, you'll die physically. Amen? Spiritual death doesn't mean a cessation of existence or an end to existence. It means that you're existing now away from God. See, every person sitting here and every person watching online, listening, whatever, you're going to live forever. It just what the thing is this. You have to determine where you're going to live forever. You're an eternal being. Adam didn't stop existing the day he ate of the fruit. He stopped existing with God. He was separated from God. Sin separated him from God. And Romans 5:12 says that sin now has come upon all mankind and has passed through man, and now everybody is found under sin. That sin nature comes into each and every one of us. So the curse of the law is spiritual death or separation from God. Well, if you're separated from God, when you die physically, you go to the place where those who rejected God go to. You go down into the gates of Hades. Amen? And there you'll be forever separated from God in torments. And we don't want that. Thank God you don't have to do that, because your freedom from hell has already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Your freedom from sin bondage has been paid for. You can walk in the freedom of righteousness and right standing with God today, because Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price for you to be set free from sin. Amen? That's good news today. Now we can receive, according to Romans 8, the spirit of adoption and cry out, Abba, Father. God becomes our Father. Hallelujah. Well, the curse of the law was also financial. In Genesis 3, whenever they failed, you know, before then, Adam was able to speak his faith and tend to the garden. All that was in there was for him. I mean, that man was prosperous, wasn't he? Had all the provision he'd ever need. But when he sinned, God said, now, instead of the ground producing plenty for you, you'll work by the sweat of your brow, and you'll produce thorns and thistles. You'll sow much and gather little. That's poverty, lack, and want. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Jesus on the cross did not just do things just to do things. He was beaten, smitten, and afflicted by God for you and me. Amen? They put a crown of thorns upon Jesus' head. What was they doing when they put the crown of thorns upon his head and they stripped him of his materials, earthly materials, and hang him on that cross before mankind in shame? He was bearing the curse of poverty. He was taking the curse through the thorn on his brow, was taking the curse of poverty off of your land, off of your business, off of your home, off of your life. Why? Now the ground will produce plenty for you because Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. Amen? Come on, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you might be made rich through him. Amen? Thank God Jesus redeemed me from poverty, lack, and want. I don't have to live my life poor, defeated, broke down, and beat up. Amen? I can be free from that, praise God. But it's also sickness and disease. You find out that sickness began to come upon mankind. Well, the Bible says that he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. The chastisement needful for us to obtain peace and well-being was laid upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Amen. Aren't you glad today you don't have to live your life sick, weak, defeated, and broken, because Jesus Christ came to heal you and give you a wholeness so you can live your full life out and be happy. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you preach this and some people say, yo, well, I've had some sickness. That doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. That means you don't have to stay under the attack. Well, I've had some bad problems go my way. Well, join the line. It's a long one. It circles around the earth. Amen. Jesus didn't say just because he redeemed you from the curse, you'd never have a problem with the curse. He said you was free from it, and now you can walk in victory over it. Amen. But as long as you're alive, you're going to be tempted, tested, and tried. Anybody here this last week have any temptation to get into sin? I'm not talking about going out here and robbing a bank. I'm talking about letting your flesh get the best of you. Do something ugly. Sure. Anybody had any little ache or pain come up and you just had to deal with it? Sure. Did anybody here this week get a bill that you weren't expecting? Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know, welcome to the world. But that doesn't mean that Christ hasn't already paid the price for you to get through all that. Amen? And you can be free through every attack and affliction. Why? Because the next verse says, to the end, that through their receiving Christ Jesus, in other words, for everyone who receives Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to get up every day and say this: I receive Christ Jesus as my Lord and Redeemer, and because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Redeemer, I'm redeemed from the full curse of the law, and I receive the Holy Spirit operating in my life, bringing the revelation, the realization of God's blessings into my life. Hallelujah. See, now I get to walk in the Spirit. I get to have the Helper helping me live in the fullness of what God has for me. Amen? And to just seal the deal, you drop down to verse 29, and it says this: and if you belong to Christ and are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to the promise. Ooh, glory to God. Now, I use this in the mornings whenever I'm praying over my needs. And I get down to this last part, and you know what I do? I said, Lord, you said if you belong to Christ, and I do, and are in him who is Abraham's seed, and I am, then I am Abraham's offspring, and I'm a spiritual heir according to the promise. Woo, glory to God. I'm an heir to the promise of God's blessing that he made to Abraham to operate that blessing in my life. Amen? Now, how am I going to turn myself from living in an awareness of the curse and living in sickness, living in condemnation, living in unworthiness, even though I'm born again? Might be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Going to church, but still have an insecurity about yourself. Still walking around feeling like you're unworthy. Walking around feeling like, everybody gets healed but me. Everybody's got, victory but me. How do you get out of that? Well, he said in Galatians 3:14, he says that through faith we receive the blessings. What's that mean? It's not just going to fall on you like ripe cherries falling off of a tree. Sometimes you have to shake the tree. What's that mean? Use your faith. You have to believe God, because after all, he said you're a spiritual heir to the same blessing promised Abraham. Amen? In other words, whatever God did for Abraham, God wants to do for you. Isn't that right? It'd do you well to go back and study the life of Abraham. You'd find out the man was far from perfect, and you would find out that God had him to do some things that was really stretching it. Amen? And you know what? And God was so good to Abraham, even whenever he was trying to do the right thing and made a mistake, God's grace would be there and he'd bail him out. Hallelujah. Now that's good news for you and me. What's that mean, Pastor? That means that you don't have to be perfect to operate in this blessing, but you have to learn how to operate in faith. And faith is hearing what God says and doing what God says. Amen? That's all faith is. Faith is me hearing what God says and then doing what God says. Just living it in my life. Look back up here in Galatians chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 6. Let's look at Abraham for a moment. He says this, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Notice that? He says you got to get over in faith. If you're going to get over there and become an heir just like Abraham and operate as a son of Abraham, you got to get it by faith. Just like Abraham believed God, you got to believe God. See, you're faced with a choice right now. You can either sit there and twiddle your thumbs and think about what you're going to do an hour from now, or you can sit there and hear this word and say, my God, I've been sick, I can get healed. My God, I've been fighting all these bills and people attacking me. I could actually get my bills paid. My God, I've been walking around here feeling like I'm a nobody and Jesus Christ has made me a somebody. See, Abraham had to believe. When God spoke to him, Abraham actually had to believe that and act upon that. Amen? And he says only those who do what Abraham did are going to get what Abraham got. Amen? Do you ever remember reading over in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, whenever Jesus was talking to the Jewish people there, and he was telling them, he said, you're of your father, the devil. And they said, no, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. You'd act like him. You'd talk like him. You'd be like him. But you're not his because you don't act a bit like him. Amen? Notice that faith. You got to step over in faith. You got to believe God. You got to put some faith in that and believe God. Now let's read this 9th verse. He says, so then those who are of faith are blessed. Everybody say blessed. With believing Abraham. You know what he says? For you to get blessed, there's two things you got to do. Number one, you got to make Jesus Lord of your life and accept him and enter into a covenant relationship with him. And then you have to believe what he did for you is for you. And then by faith, you got to step out and act upon it. Amen? You got to put some actions to your faith. You got to believe God. You just can't sit back. Some people say, well, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. Well, enjoy your sickness. Amen. Well, if God wants me to succeed in business, he'll do it. Then just go bankrupt. Because if you don't put your hand to it and don't pray over it and don't believe God and get out and work, then you're not going to get blessed. Because you see, faith is not lazy sitting around waiting on God to do it for you. Because God's already done it for you. God's already sent his son, Jesus Christ, and let him go on the cross as a lamb and redeem you and purchase your freedom. God's already shown you that he's a worker. And now God is saying, now if you want to get in on this and become a son, first of all, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, you got to believe what the word says and act upon it. Amen? Now, let's go over real quickly to Genesis chapter 14. Let's go back and take a look at Abraham. Genesis, the 14th chapter. We have a lot of information that really shows us the character and the commitment of Abraham to God. Abraham, he was Abram at the time, but he and Lot got so blessed that the land couldn't contain everything. I mean, they couldn't feed all their flocks. And Abram, being a man who had faith, basically Abram was this way. Lot, if you want to go south, I'll go north. Whatever you do, I'll go the opposite way. You pick. You know why he said that? Now, Lot looks over and says, ooh, look at the lush green land down here. That's where I want to go. That's all desert up there. I ain't going up there. Abram didn't care. Because, you see, he knew that his blessing wasn't dependent upon the ground, upon the place, or upon the what it looked like. His blessing was dependent upon his walk with God. And Abram knew that if he walked with God towards the desert, God would make springs rise up in the desert, and he'd still be blessed no matter where he was, because his blessing was coming from faith in God, not from what he could see or feel around him. Amen? See, a lot of us, we think we're in faith, but if we don't see the right thing, feel the right thing, and if somebody doesn't do the thing we thought, then we all fall apart. But Abraham just said, you pick, because you see, my faith is in God, and it don't matter which way I go, I'm going to be blessed. Amen? Somebody says, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? No, that's kind of faith. And he said, we're sons of Abraham through faith in God. You know what that means? That means you need to get the attitude that, blessed be God, whatever I put my hand to, I believe God's going to bless. My days of failure are over. My days of struggle are over. My days of insecurity is over. My days of feeling like I am not worthy is over, because I'm going to move over into the blessing of Abraham. I'm going to act like Abraham did. Amen? Now let's go ahead and read down through here and see some things. Abraham's here, and Lot goes down, and he gets in Sodom. And so here comes some kings, and they come down through and they rebel. And you know what they do? They take Lot captive, though. That's a bad mistake. Because, see, Abraham, he's got this real sense of protection, and this real sense of covering for family. Amen? Me and my family may fight together, but if you fight one of my family, me and my family are going to fight you. Amen. Listen, I grew up three brothers and three sisters in my home, and I was the oldest. And there were times when we would really get into it. But if you jumped into it, we quit on us and jump on you. Amen. And so Abram's going all about his business, and Lot's down here, and Lot gets his family. And somebody sneaks off and knows Abram, goes up and tells him. The enemy's done come in, got you Lot, and got his goods, and got his family, and there's a mess going on. You know what Abram does? Let's pick it up in verse 14. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed the 318 trained servants that were in his own house and went up to pursue as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods. Everybody say, he brought back. Notice that he went, these kings came in and defeated everybody else, and Abraham took 318 out of his own home and goes up and defeats the kings. Listen to what he says. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother and Lot and the goods, as well as the women and the people. See, if you're going to live by faith, folks, and you're going to walk in victory, that doesn't mean there are not going to be times that your family is going to be attacked. Doesn't mean there are times that you're just going to just cruise through. Abraham's brother is attacked, actually his nephew, but he's being attacked, and he's been taken captive. So you know what he does? He rallies the family, uses his faith, and goes out with the wisdom and the strength of God and recovers his family. There are times we need to get the family together and say, devil, you're not having this family. You're not destroying our goods. You're not taking anybody in captive. We're going after them in Jesus' name, and we're going to recover them and set them free and get them back where God can bless them. Amen? See, there are times you have to rise up in a strength of faith and stand against the enemy and recover, because he will come in, because the devil is your enemy and he's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It was not God who sent those armies down there. It was not God who made them rebel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So God didn't tell them to rebel. It was sin that caused him to rebel. And these rebels came in and attacked God's people. And so God's people got together and attacked back. When you get attacked, folks, that's when you go ahead and get on the counterattack. You rise up and you get God's wisdom and you use your faith. That's what Abraham did. Amen? Now let's read on. Once he gets the victory, look what happens. He says this in verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of whatever, Shabel, okay? Praise God. Huh? Shaba, however you say it. And anyway, he says, this is the king's valley. And after this, they returned to defeat the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, for he was the priest of God Most High. Now, notice here that whenever Abram gets this great victory, both the ungodly king and the godly king come out to meet him. Everybody wants to be on the side of a winner. The world will like you if you're winning, and they'll court you. The world wouldn't do anything for you. Those guys didn't lift one finger to help Abraham fight, but once he won, boy, hey, where you, buddy? Now, Abram has a decision to make. He's got to make a choice. Am I going to go with the ungodly and celebrate with the ungodly and hook up with the ungodly? Or am I going to stay with God who gave me the victory and worship God and stay with God and give him the glory? In every area of your life, if you're going to walk in the Abrahamic blessing, you're going to have to choose. Am I going to go with the ungodly and the worldly and give the world the glory and let the world have part of this? Or am I going to stay and give God the glory and keep my eyes on him? Every time you fight a battle, you either have the world or you have God. Every time you get a victory, you're either going to give glory to the world or you're going to give glory to God. One of the two. Abraham chooses to give glory to God. Look what happens. He meets Melchizedek, who is king of Salem, and Salem is the old name of Jerusalem, okay? And so here's Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, and he comes out and he meets Abraham, and look what he says. He says, and he blessed him, blessed Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abram, gave him a tithe of his all. In other words, Abram gave a tithe of all that he'd recovered back to Melchizedek. Look at that. Now, what are you saying here, Pastor? I'm saying this. Abram has prayed, and he's kept his eyes on God. Now he's rallied himself, gone down, defeated the enemy, set his brother free. He makes a choice to worship God. Melchizedek comes out, who is Hebrews 6 and 7 says he's a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes out as priest and king over ancient Jerusalem. And he comes out and he speaks a blessing over him. He says, listen, Abraham, basically saying this, God is the one who delivered you and set you free and gave you this victory. And God has blessed you with all of his possessions in heaven and in earth. God is your source. God is the one who gives you the strength to do this. And God is the one who gave you the ability with 318 to go out and whip all these kings and defeat these drained armies and come back with the goods and with your family set free. And God has blessed you. And when Abraham heard that, and he heard that coming from the priest of God and from the lips of God's man, Abraham turns and gives a tithe of all that he recovered. One says he gave a tithe of all the loot. But you've got to go back and read something. Abraham recovered Lot's goods and the people's goods. He didn't have anything in this. Abraham was actually tithing to Melchizedek what Lot should have been tithing to him all along. And he's saying, God, I'm worshiping you for saving my family. I'm worshiping you for giving me this victory. And I praise you and thank you that, Lord, as I put my faith and trust in you, you open up all of heaven and earth's possessions to me so that I can have provision to do what you call me to do. Amen? That's what Abraham is declaring. Now look what happens though. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Now, he's faced with another dilemma. Now, I've already declared and given a tithe to God, and God has said he's my deliverer, and God said he's going to meet my needs, but now here comes an ungodly king saying, won't you let me take care of this for you? The world's still trying to get involved in this situation. So let's read on. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand. You got to get this. I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me and Amasco and Mamre, let them take their portion. You know what Abraham does? Abraham stands there and he says, listen, I have just declared that God is my source. I'm not turning to the world to supply that need. I'm turning to God to supply that need. I'm not coming into covenant with you, ungodly king. I'm in covenant with the Almighty God, and God will move in my way because he's already said through Melchizedek that he would bless me with all his possessions in heaven and earth. So I have all the resources of heaven and all the resources of earth, and so therefore I've raised my hand. In other words, today I've made a commitment that my faith and trust is in God. And you know what happens during this? Melchizedek comes out and serves him bread and wine. What is bread and wine a symbol of? It's the Old Testament symbol of the new covenant communion service. You know what he's doing whenever Abraham makes these commitments? Melchizedek comes out and secures the covenant with bread and wine and says, now you're in covenant with God and let God show you the way. Don't trust in man. Don't put your faith in man. Don't look to man. Look to God and God will get through. And so Abraham raises up and makes a public declaration. Now he hasn't seen one blessing yet. He hasn't had anything provided yet. He's only been told that God's going to do it for him. Amen? Many of us in here, you're hearing this, and God is speaking to you saying, I will get you through this. You don't see any evidence of it yet. You don't feel any different yet. You don't see anything different yet. What are you going to do? Are you going to act like Abraham? Because only those who are of faith are blessed with a faithful Abraham. Abraham had faith before he could even see it. He is declaring that God is my source based on what Melchizedek said to him. Faith does not wait till you see or feel something to act. Faith believes what the Word says and declares what the Word says before you see anything at all. That's the Abraham kind of faith. Remember Romans 4, Abraham was strong in faith, not considering his own body, not looking at the circumstances, but being strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, Abraham has declared his faith right there. And listen, he paid for this battle out of his own pocket. And then he didn't take anything for it. He gave Lot his stuff after he tithed. He gave the goods back to the people except for what the young men had eaten. And Abraham has financed this whole thing out of his own pocket and has not gotten any rewards. And here comes an ungodly king says, hey, I'll give you all these rewards. That's a real temptation, isn't it? I wouldn't have to pray, wouldn't have to believe, wouldn't have to do anything. All I have to do is compromise my walk with God. All I have to do is be ungodly for a while. All I have to do is a little sin in there, and it'd be okay. See, Abraham is faced with that same thing. And so then, in the 15th chapter, in verse 1, God begins to speak. Once Abraham has tithed and chosen to make God his source, and raised his hand that he's going to believe God, and God's blessing is going to be upon my life, and he's turned down the world to get him to compromise and compromise in integrity and compromise his walk with God. Pastor, you help make it a little more plain to me. Would they like you if you weren't quite as bold for Jesus in the office? They'd invite you to more of their gatherings if you just wouldn't show up with a Bible. You know, in fact, if you just didn't talk so much about that Holy Ghost stuff and things, we would invite you to our meetings. You know, if you just tone it down a little bit, you know, I think we could get along better. That's what I'm talking about. Well, I've got news for you. I'm not laying down my Bible. I'm not toning it down, and I'm going to talk more about that Holy Ghost business than I ever have in my life, amen? Because God is my source, and God is the one who's going to bless me, and he's already said that he, the possessor of heaven and earth, would bless me and bring deliverance in my life. And you know, Abraham makes that declaration to these ungodly people. I mean, he's bold about it. Then look what the very first verse of Genesis 15, read to you the Amplified, it brings it out so good. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. In other words, God has spoken through Melchizedek, but now God is going to speak to him himself. See, folks, here's the thing. You have to let God speak to you through the word and possibly in a service like this to get yourself in a position where God can speak to you personally when you leave the service. Abraham has gone on what Melchizedek said and what God has declared through the word up to this point. But now all of a sudden he's getting a personal word from God himself. You have to hear the word. You have to hear what the minister's saying to you. You have to let God speak to you general before you're going to get a personal word from God. Okay? Now look what happens. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abram." Isn't that amazing? The first thing that God had to tell Abraham was, don't be afraid. Now, why would he have to tell Abram that? Because he's a human being just like you and me. And he has just won a battle and didn't take any rewards for it, has been told by a priest that God is his blesser, just turned down the world's way of being a successful rich guy and compromising to get it, and declared God's going to meet my needs. And he walks out of there and he still don't have any money in his pocket. You ever come to the church and the Lord dealt with you? I'm going to tell you what. I remember one time God spoke to me and I gave $20. This was a $20 bill and I gave it. It was precious in those days. I didn't see many $20 bills in those days. But I can remember during the offering, God said, give that $20. And I gave the $20 and I walked out of there, got in my car, and fear was all over me for $20. What are you talking about? I was going, oh my God, how am I going to make it this week? I don't have any money. You ever done anything and the moment you declared your faith, fear came in? Come on. Anybody besides me honest enough, raise your hand and say, uh-huh, I've taken a stand for God. And the first thing hit me was, oh God, what am I going to do now? Isn't it amazing? The very first thing God does when he begins to speak to you about blessing you is say, don't get into fear. Don't be afraid. You've taken your stand. Now listen to what he says. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Hebrews says, I'm your protector. I got you covered. I am your abundant compensation. You know what that reads in the Hebrew? Your rapidly increasing wages. I'm your reward. And your reward shall be exceedingly great. God shows up after Abraham has taken a stand of faith. And God speaks to him and he says, don't be afraid. I heard you. I'm with you. I saw you put that tithe into the priest's hands. I saw you give when you didn't even really have it to give. I saw you put your faith in me and your trust in me and sow a seed believing that I'm the God of more than enough. And I saw that. And I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you. And I'm going to cause great things to happen in your life. Amen. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's how you get it. And Abraham looks at God and says, well, God, how are you going to bless me? I don't even have a son. And my heir is one of my servants that I've been training up, and I love him, but he's still not my son. And God says, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to give it to you out of your loins. And then he says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Walk outside your tent. So apparently he's been in his tent, like a lot of us. After we made our faith declaration, we go hide in our tent. You're laying on, he's probably laying there on his cot in his tent going, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? I don't have enough money to get these 318 back to the camp. Oh, God, what am I going to do now? Hallelujah. Anybody besides me ever been there, huh? You're in faith. God's a man of faith and power. And all these thoughts of like, oh, God, what am I going to do now? And God comes in and says, don't be afraid. I got you covered. I'm going to protect you. I'm your shield. And I'm going to reward you with an exceeding rapidly increasing wages. I'm going to increase you so fast, you're going to be so blessed that people are going to say, well, God, how are you going to do that? He says, go out and look at the stars. Can you count them? Well, no, there's more than I can count. That's how much I'm going to bless you. Take your sandals off and wiggle your toes in that sand. Can you count the grains of sand? No, God, I can never do that. That's how much I'm going to bless you. You know what he was doing? He was taking Abram out of his tent where he had a small vision, out to where he could see God and have a big vision. Amen? A lot of you today need to let God bring you out of your tent small vision and bring you outside and let you see how great God can do things for you and realize that he is a God of more than enough. Amen? And you know how Abraham got this to be a blessing in his life? Verse 6. We read it over in Galatians, but let's read it in verse 6. And he, Abram, believed in, trusted in, and relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord. And he counted it to him as righteousness, right standing with God. How did Abram move over into the blessing part? And Abram believed, trusted in, relied on, and remained steadfast to the Lord. That's faith. And folks, that's where we have to come to today. Galatians 3, 6, 9 says, they that are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You and I have to go ahead and just say, Lord, enlarge my vision. Let me see what you can do in my life. And from this moment forward, I'm going to trust in, rely upon you, be steadfast in my faith, and nothing's going to move me. And I thank you, Lord, that your blessing is working in my life. Amen. And you speak that blessing, and you rejoice in the blessing, and you let God walk you through that thing and cause you to walk in victory. Amen.